The Ringer Wrestling Show is getting you closer to all things pro wrestling. The Masked Man Show with David and Kaz drops every Thursday on the feed, along with a new show hosted by pro wrestling superfan Evan Mack called Mack Mania. Plus, hear instant reactions to all the biggest WWE pay-per-view events with our post-pay-per-view shows. Check out The Ringer Wrestling Show on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where's your cap, Ryan, man?
Yeah, man, look.
The one day I don't wear a cap and you all rock up wearing caps.
What's that cap mean? Days. Cap is Cap Tuesdays.
Is it Cap Day?
Yeah, it's Cap Tuesday, man. What's up, everybody? How you doing? Welcome to Writer's House on Ringer FC. Hope you're all safe and well. We're recording this ahead of the Champions League games, which the Stadio boys will do on Thursday. Today, we're going to talk about the Women's FA Cup semi-finals, which saw Chelsea and Arsenal go through to the final. Plus, we're going to talk about the Premier League, including praise for West Ham, Crystal Palace, and we are going to give flowers for a certain Arsenal goalkeeper. And my guests today are Ryan Hanna and Flo Lloyd-Hughes. How are you, ladies and gents?
Feeling good.
Really good?
Yeah.
This is going to be airing on your birthday.
I know. This is why when
it's your birthday.
I know. It is actually my birthday then, isn't it? Now.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Oh my gosh.
What's on the agenda then?
Like the girls will wake up and they'll wake up really early and they'll make a massive fuss and then they'll probably make tea and something for me. Maybe a bagel or something. And then me and Nance, then I'll just hang around and I think I get my my new electric car comes tomorrow and I've already got a name for it. Do you want to hear my name for my car?
Is it Lightning McQueen?
No. Because obviously electric, so it's...
Aaron, after Aaron Ramsdale.
No, Louis. Louis Lecky is called because it's... So I'm so excited because again, when I was younger, the presents were so bad. It was so bad in the end. Me and my brothers, we actually used to laugh because we hardly got anything or it was just like ridiculous. So I'm so looking forward to it that I've not slept very well in the last couple of days. It's been brilliant. It's been really cool.
We got a couple of presents for you.
What you got?
Some people couldn't be here.
Right.
I got to play you a couple of things.
Go on then.
Happy birthday
to
you. You're everyone's fave. Like, how are you even a granddad? It doesn't even make any sense, but we love you so much. Happy birthday, big unks. Have a wonderful day. I know you're probably going to get beat about with some leaves or something.
Yep.
Have a good food and a quick vibe. But like I said, we absolutely adore you. Big up yourself each and every time. All the love in the world. JK.
You know something? That's wonderful. That's lovely.
There's more. I'm not done. We've got an hour. Like,
there's an endless stream. There's an endless stream.
Happy birthday, Uncle Ian Wright. Thank you so much for being so funny, so caring, so charming, so unashamedly you, and so dedicated to looking after the generations in and around you and those to come. Like, you're such a great standard bearer for us all. And I hope you have a great day.
Thanks.
Because you deserve it. Also, you look great in a roll neck. So I hope you're wearing one of those too. Hope to see you soon. And stay swaggy. Love you. See you soon.
Carl got me there. He got me.
He got you.
Uncle Righty, big bro Righty, the nation's uncle. Oh, man. Happy birthday, man. Happy birthday to the GOAT, the legend, the man, the myth. Many happy returns. I'm so proud of you, man, of everything you're doing, the inspiration you're giving, the fact that you never forget, you know, you never forget anyone, man. You're just there for everyone. And today is about you, man. Today is your day. You always worry about everyone else, but today is your day. So I hope you enjoy it. Hope you have loads of fun. I hope I get to see a video of you singing and dancing because you know how that makes everyone's day. But yeah, love you, big bro. Have a good one, man.
I'm going to cry, I think.
I know. So that's the thing about
like
Ray's house.
I feel like it's my birthday.
If it's someone's birthday, it's everyone's birthday.
Yeah, here we go. Last one.
This is so beautiful.
Ian, happy birthday. Yeah. What can I say? Many happy returns to one of the great mentors, one of the great friends, I'm so proud and privileged to know you and to get to see up close all the amazing work you do and the great impact you have on lives. Countless lives you'll never cross in person, but also many lives that you'll cross every day, like those friends around you, like myself, like Ryan, the rest of the Righteous House team, your amazing family. I hope you're surrounded by love, however you spend the day. Much love to you, my friend. Catch you soon. Take care.
It's beautiful, man. This is what I say. I love the house, man. This is one of the greatest things I've ever been involved in, ever. I love it here. This is like the Tuesdays in my life now is the best ever.
I'm going to remind you that when you're squirming about technical issues before, I'm like, right, just remember these are the greatest Tuesdays of your life, man.
And then, you know, we was having a great time and then we get Flo in and then we get Mayowa in. You know, it's just like the energy, you know what I mean? I'm blessed, I must admit. I'm blessed. And I don't know what to say because it's always been very difficult. Like I said, until I met Nance, like what we now, 17 years in, 18 years in, to accept any kind of loveliness and niceness and warmth, because when I was young, I didn't have it. And then when I did get it, it was, came from a place of, because I was successful. All of a sudden I had love, false love. And it was really hard for me. And this is why I feel like some of the times I lashed out, whether it was like my on the pitch or personally with the things I was doing, I didn't care because I didn't feel like I didn't feel anything from anyone. And the only, you know who I felt it from? Fans. And how real is that when you're getting cheered because you're scoring? When you're, you know what I mean? It was really, I went through a real place. And now I'm in a place where everything's wonderful and beautiful. And I've got you guys, my wonderful missus, my girls, everything was happening, Roscoe and everybody. I've got, it's just sometimes, you know, if you believe it or not, you have to thank something.
I think it's also though, just like listening to you is a lesson, and there's, it sounds really cliche and cringy, but there is so much life to live. Like I'm 28, turned 28 a couple of weeks ago. And obviously when you're fully living in the moment and you think these moments of your life are going to be the most important, these are going to define you.
Yep.
But actually listening to you, there is so much more life ahead. And if you feel like you're not in a joyful place right now, like that joy is going to come.
Yes.
Is going to come, and you don't know when it might come. It might come in your 30s, in your 40s, in your 50s, in your 60s, whatever. But there is so much life ahead.
Absolutely.
And you're not going to be defined about the decade or the years that have gone past. I think that's an amazing way to kind of look at life, because I think I'm constantly just heading for the next thing, looking here at the next target. Yeah, but actually here, sometimes you just have to like take a step back and be like, wow.
I can't wait for us to meet up, honestly, because it's going to be the first time we're all, apart from obviously me and Moose's world tour, which never ends, for all of us to meet up like that when we go out that night, it's going to be emotional for me.
I'm so hyped, man.
Are you hyped?
So
hyped. That's why you can't sleep,
bro. I'm so
bro.
Hyped. I know it is. I think I'm excited. It's like when you're 4 years old and Christmas is the next day. But I did an interview the other day, just quickly before we got onto the actual football. But,
yes.
I did a quick chat with David Alexander, who writes a blog called Arsenal Addict.
Right.
And it was about Arsenal fandom, and it was answering seven questions. And one of the things he asked was like, what's your favourite Arsenal related thing, like off the pitch?
Yes.
And I started talking about Writer's House and working with you and stuff. One of the things that I said in there, which I want to tell you because I think it's like, it would be my birthday message, is that
yes,
the thing that's been amazing about Writer's House, and I wrote this in the thing, was that it's never ever even since day one like been about you. It's always been about all of us. And the one of the things that I think you do, which you don't need to do, but you do it, you know, you're a busy dude, is that you really, really support all of us and all of the stuff we do away from the house. And for me personally, and I'm sure everyone else will echo it, that'll always be something I'm mega grateful for. But if you'd fucking told me at 9 years old that I'd be doing this, I'd be like, what are you talking about?
It's amazing.
Amen.
I love you guys, man. I saw the FA Cup semi-final. Arsenal were there, delighted. And you know what was really great about it? Is because it's going to be on the 5th of December. And you know the significance of that? It's 100 years since women were banned from playing football. It's on the 5th of December.
Wow.
And it's unbelievable because Chelsea are playing on the Saturday. Arsenal playing, the men's I'm talking, on the Monday. So the 5th is meant to be. It's symbolic. It's amazing that that's fallen like that. So Arsenal and Chelsea, I watched the games Was you at the, you was at the City game, weren't you, Flo?
Yeah, I was in Manchester. It was a nightmare. I mean, nightmare getting back.
I know they've got a lot of players missing, but I feel sorry for City.
Do you know what though? I don't. I wrote a piece on the train floor on the way back from Manchester on Sunday, and I just really don't understand what Gareth Taylor's doing. There was a moment in the post-match, right? And this was proper, like we were all staring at each other like, are you kidding me? City like lined up with a back four. Right. Like someone posted a screenshot of how they lined up at the start of the back, at the start of the game. There were four players in the back line, right? Someone asked Gareth Taylor on the post-match Zoom, oh, you look like you went from 4-4-2 to 4-4-3 in the second half. And he was like, oh no, we were actually playing like 3-4-3. And everyone was like, yeah?
Oh no.
What? Like literally we looked at each other like, what? And he was like, yeah, we were playing 3-4-3 and then we changed up to 4-3-3 and we were just like, mate,
he's lost it.
Like if you were doing that, your players didn't know that you were doing that because they certainly weren't playing three at the back.
Did it become like a 3-4-3 in possession, or was it just like a straight four all the time?
Yeah, but the thing, you don't get that wrong as you can't get that wrong as a coach. I saw that somewhere where he said,
well,
that
you clarify, wouldn't you?
Yes, because what that makes me feels like is what it makes me feel like is he's literally scrambling. He's scrambling.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. And I just think, yeah, the injury problems are ridiculous. Mm. The injury problems are ridiculous. They had a 16-year-old on the bench, got backup goalkeeper on the weekend. Oh, they're playing their third choice goalkeeper to start. She didn't have a great game on Sunday. After the two goals, she did make some good saves, to be fair to her. But they had to call up a player who's only just turned 16, like last week, to be in there on the bench because their 17-year-old, who is currently the backup goalkeeper, fractured her elbow last week. So it's just endless for them. So I do have some sympathy in that respect. But I also just feel like they're not helping themselves. Mm. Bunny Shaw and Ellen White as a two, right? You look at that and I thought, you know what? This could work today. This could work today. But there was very little coaching in there. I couldn't see any signs of them knowing what they were meant to do. Right. They were getting in each other's way constantly. Oh, like the two methods were Lauren Hemp, who's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Direct, play it out left and hope that she can do the business and just go straight through on goal, have a shot or set someone up. That wasn't working because Chelsea did well to kind of mitigate that threat. Mm-hmm. Or it was long ball into Shaw or White and one of them sort of knock it onto each other, which could work, but they kept getting each other's way and then Taylor took Shaw off at half time. Oh, I mean, Shaw has been really good in every game she's played. She's got a hat trick in the quarter final of the cup. She's really good player and he's not getting the best out of her. So although I have some sympathy for the injuries, I'm just getting a little bit impatient with the lack of making the best of what they have got because they've still got a good squad.
Are you ever signing Bunny Shaw? Have you ever signed her? You have to say, well, if we're going to get Lauren Hemp who's going to play like she is and we've got Chloe Kelly who gets down and gets the ball in the box, get the crosses in, that's not how Bunny Shaw plays. She's on the shoulder. She has to be played through. And you know, so what's going to happen to Man City, even when everybody does come back? What's going to happen to Bunny Shaw? What's going to happen to her? If he's taking her off now, the signing, the major sign, you have to say, it's the marquee signing for City this season.
Yeah, and he also just, I asked him afterwards, like, why'd you take her off? And he said, oh, well, she did have a knock, but I wanted more energy and movement. And I was thinking, she was moving around. Her and Ellen White were moving around. They just weren't getting any service, like you said. They like it was just like long balls and what they meant to hold up play to who.
It was very fucking. It's very easy for Chelsea.
Yeah, I think Sam Mewis just carried them last season.
Yeah,
and I think now they're being exposed big time. I mean, we all knew how big she was going to be when she came over and she delivered. But now I'm looking back and reflecting and being like, man, she was that good that I think she actually paved over a lot of cracks and issues at City.
And she's a unicorn as well.
She was dominant at all ends of the pitch. She would support the defence and be a bully there. She was a ball carrier. She was important in the box. She was a presence everywhere. She was so physical. Now I'm just like, you know what? That's also, they can't replace that.
Nope.
And without her, they look like a completely different team.
How long do you think he's got? Because Lucy Bronze coming back, what's going to be the difference even when Lucy Bronze gets back?
I guess the real question will be, like you said, when the whole squad is fit, there is nothing to hide behind. There are no excuses anymore. Because then we will see.
Does he keep his? Is that what's keeping him at the moment? Because of the injuries, I think that's maybe giving him the opportunity to keep his job.
I think so. Because if they're not going to sack him at this point, then it's like, well, what is it going to take? Worst record ever in the WSL. Knocked out of the cup. They'd won the last two editions, so they don't hold on to the cup. Like, not in the Champions League. I mean, he can't get worse than this, and he still gets his job. So you feel like, well, it definitely probably until everyone's fit, and then we get a real sense of, right, how big is the issue and the problem? Because right now, he can just kind of hide behind that.
Yeah, can we give her some love to Chelsea, though? Because yeah, they just dealt with it.
Steamrolled.
You know what? I had a funny chat with Erin Cuthbert as well. I don't know if you guys have ever met her, but no. Oh, she's just brilliant. She's brilliant. And a great interview if you ever get the chance to, because I do find a lot these days, especially with the England girls, like, they're media trained quite early on. Like, the FA get in there, and I understand why they do it. They want to protect the players. They want to make sure they know what's coming, and it's brutal. But I feel like it's really hard to sometimes get that personality out of players, and that's what's really important, to build the game, to show the characters of the game. You need to show those personalities.
Yeah, I do find that.
I find with Erin, though, she does not care. So
you need that, man.
My post-match, I said to her, the last time you were at Wembley, Erin, was when you went to watch England, Scotland with your family during the Euros. And she was like, yeah, I don't remember any of that, to be fair. And I was like, oh, do you think this is going to be a happier night? And she was like, what are you talking about? 0-0 draw. That's a big one for Scotland. That's that's legendary. Like, she's just got so much personality, so much energy.
Yeah.
You know, she talked about how Emma Hayes had been a mother figure for her during the pandemic because she didn't have her family here. And like, being able to see her family at Wembley is going to be huge. And I'm just like, you know what? That's what I want. I want players to show some raw emotion, some feeling.
It's true, because
No, I was going to say, I loved like Emma Hayes talking about Erin Cuthbert being like, oh, she's going to have her Nando's on the bus.
And yeah, then
Carly Telford tweeting a picture of Erin Cuthbert eating a Nando's on the bus.
That's what we want. And she's brilliant, man. She went to that Wembley England-Scotland game dressed as like Braveheart. She had full face paint on.
Yes.
There's a picture of her, I think, at like Guildford Station at like midday, ready to go to that game. And she was absolutely steaming, but she loved it.
Yeah.
Do you know what's going to be so good is cup final on the 5th. That like Arsenal-Chelsea is a mouth-watering cup final fixture.
Yeah.
If you are not thinking about going, you have got to go. That is going to be an immense final, because Emma Hayes is going to be wanting revenge for that game at the Emirates. She cannot wait. And then 4 days later at the Emirates, Arsenal-Barcelona.
Wow.
I mean, what a stretch of women's football. So if you haven't yet got your tickets, you have got to go to those games. The best of the best.
I think that the Arsenal-Chelsea at Wembley will be it's going to be a fantastic game. It's going to be a fact, because I know for a fact that I remember when me and Emma was doing the England game not long after we beat them, and she was really upset because I think there was still some COVID kind of restriction thing, and they made her have to walk and go all the way round. And she said,
"Yeah, she was not happy."
She honestly, and she was so vexed. So I want that energy. I want that Emma Hayes energy.
She's not going to forget that.
So that's going to be spicy. So that's again on the 5th. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to do the job for the FA on it, but that's a game that you should go and watch. It's a game that should be watched. You know, did you see the Arsenal game, the Arsenal Brighton game? I watched that game.
Yes.
Can I just say something with Beth Mead in like the form of her life, right? Long may it continue. And then Jordan Nobbs for me. Come on, man, Serena, she's got to be in the England squad, the next one for crying out loud. Right, she's getting back into it. But Katie McCabe with Beth Mead on
this
that
right
side.
His agenda. I'm
yes,
sorry.
Man.
Manifesto.
Nobbs
should play, man. Come on, Serena. But the fact is, the left side of Arsenal, let me go back. The left side of Arsenal literally
unreal.
Destroyed. They destroyed Paul
that
Brighton.
That first goal, the Kim Little goal.
Yes.
How does she get that
bam,
touch?
Bam. Yeah, it was
how
nice.
Does she get that touch?
It was pure five-a-side. It was pure five-a-side.
It was pure five-a-side.
Small-sided game vibe, that is. Small-sided game vibe finish.
Unbelievable.
I was up there the other day. He was doing a shoot for Arsenal. I was with Mana.
Wow.
Mana Iwabuchi, she's so sweet. She's just so sweet. I love her so much. And she's sweet, and she's got energy, and she's cool, and she's got vibe. She's got stature. You know what I mean?
But she's an absolute baller as well.
Her Instagram, honestly, her Instagram is wicked. A good follow on Instagram as well.
Honestly, she was so sweet. And we had a lovely picture on the couch. Just, and then a lovely chat with Leah. She's somewhere else in her focus right now. She is
She's
focused,
on another level.
Man. Yeah, she's focused. Her defensive side and what she's working on now, because we know she's a player, baller, proper as well. I mentioned, obviously, her mum was a defender, so she's getting a lot of tuition. She gets a lot of tuition from her mum. But I'm saying about Van Dijk and the kind of like the vibe they've got, where they say to somebody, okay, well, take me on then. That is the vibe she's on. She won't be beaten.
You know what? There's a patience to it as well. There's a patience to her play now, because I think Millie Bright can be like this too as well. There's an eagerness to dive in, an eagerness, because you know your ability. You know you're a very good player. There's an urgency to break up the play, to put in a tackle.
Yeah.
But there's actually a very good patience to Leah Williamson's game now that maybe was missing before, where she knows that if she waits a little bit, she'll actually win the ball and she'll be all right.
Because she's got the pace as well. She's got the pace. It's like when people talk about Kyle Walker, they say things like, yeah, well, when his pace is gone, we'll see what he's about then. Right. They've got that intelligence as well, where they say, right, I'm going to stand you up now. If you want to try and knock it past me, good luck. That is where Leah Williamson is. And she's so aggressive. Now, I saw her in that game against Everton. She literally cleaned, and I mentioned it to her, you cleaned Tony Duggan out. Cleaned her out. And I remember before the start of the season, she'd done it to Ellen White. Cleaned her out. And that's what you should do. You know what I mean? And then you pick them up and say, you're okay, nice one, bam. And if it comes again, you clean her out
again.
It's
the old Tony Adams trick, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly 100%. The Tony Adams
flooring
trick.
Flooring him and then being like, oh, sorry, pal.
You're okay, mate. Sorry. You're okay. Come on, mate. Yeah. Sorry. And then bam, do it again. Yeah. Shearer weren't having it, because Shearer knew exactly what was going on. Same with Lineker. He says, I know what they're doing. But the fact is that she's now gone to that level of, you can see she's going, I want to be the greatest.
Yeah, she seems super wise as well. She's only 24, which is still wild to me. You mentioned Millie Bright there. Shout out to Millie Bright. She got an honorary doctorate.
Yes, from Sheffield Hallam. Brilliant outfit.
Congratulations,
as well.
Millie Bright.
Brilliant outfit.
Dr.
Millie Bright, man.
So Arsenal Chelsea in the final.
Yes. Are you going for it, Flo?
Oh, it's gotta be Arsenal.
It's gonna be so good. You're going for Arsenal?
Yeah. Well, I live there. I'm down the road from the Emirates. I love Tobin Heath. Finally got my Tobin Heath shirt. I love Iwabuchi. I love Leah. Like, it's gotta be Arsenal. I love Aaron Cuthbert, I love Frank Kirby. Like, there's, you know, I love Emma Frank Hayes. Kirby. It's gonna be a brilliant final, but it's gotta be Arsenal for me.
You think so?
Oh, I love Aaron Cuthbert, but I hope it's a sad Nando's after that final.
Can we talk about West Ham for a bit, please? Mm-hmm. Because I'm loving West Ham's energy, loving David Moyes. People must be looking at David Moyes. You must be thinking now, David Moyes must be very comfortable when he goes home and has his cup of tea.
It's nice to know that second chances can work out, because I think it's rare that managers go back to clubs and have success. It is rare. We rarely see that happen. We always see it end in tears. So it's quite nice, actually.
They backed him this time, haven't they? They've kind of backed him this time a bit.
With David Moyes, it was really weird, because he wasn't really getting any offers. I always find him quite curious when managers have a sustained amount of time out in between job. And actually, do you know what? There's a really good example of that at the moment is Max Allegri at Juve. He didn't take a job after losing that Juve job.
Yeah.
Stepping down. And then he's come back in there and they're not in a good place. But with Moyes, sometimes people just land. You can analyse the shit out of football, and you can look at the context, and you can look at the data, and you can look at all kinds of circumstances. And sometimes
it's just the vibes.
It's just sometimes the vibes. Like Barrington said, the vibes is right.
The vibes is right.
Sometimes the vibes is right. And at the moment, I mean, we talked about this on Stadio once, and I said, I think, because I don't think it was a particularly, well, it definitely wasn't a popular reappointment when he went back to West Ham. Obviously, we all missed fans in stadiums, but I actually think the fans not being around initially really helped him.
You think? Yeah.
If I was a West Ham fan at the time, I'd have been like, why are we back here? We got rid of this guy, like Flo said, you know? And I think that actually having no one around, I think just gave him some time to work. Now, we hope that no one ever, like that situation never happens again, but I think specifically for this situation, it was one of those things of like, oh, actually, in hindsight, that kind of worked out not dreadfully, because by the time fans were back in, he'd already done such a good job that there was already way more positive momentum and energy around West Ham than there was when he took over, that I just don't think would have been present, because obviously they were stuck in this rut and West Ham fans have been really put through it since they moved to the new stadium.
Mm. I think the
But yeah, I'm just really happy for him and really happy for West Ham, and like Declan Rice is now turning into some kind of like
he's awesome.
He's a monster, man.
When you look at their backroom staff, which I think is really interesting, when you look at all of them, managers, they've been managers, Stuart Pearce, McKinley, Alan Irvine set my first ever goal up for Crystal Palace, by the way. You know what I mean? Crossed it left, bam, headed in. Thanks for that, Alan Irvine. Manager, you know, Paul Nevin managed in New Zealand. So everybody behind the scenes has managed. So you can imagine the wealth of like experience and knowledge in and around those guys for people like Jared Bowen, you know, for people like Declan Rice to come in and have patience with them and get them to a place. You look at Fornals, you know, Fornals, Lanzini, they're now in a structure where the old West Ham, them team, they probably come into that West Ham side. It doesn't happen. And like Anderson and Heller, they kind of like fall away and then bam, they're gone. But you're looking at a West Ham team now, even Antonio Johnson's just come through at right back to keep Soufal out of the team. You know, like I mentioned, Fornals, Bowen, all of these players, even when Jesse went there, they kind of come into a place where it seems like it's an unbelievable place to be at the minute. The West Ham players probably can't wait to get into training. That's an unbelievable feeling. They feel like all of these players are improving continually. They do need to get a striker to go to help. They do need that, because if he picks up an injury, then it's a different ball game for them. And we know that David Moyes signing strikers down the years, he's not been great. It's not really happened for him. But in the main, the whole team, Kurt Zouma looks amazing in that
team. Looks like a completely different player.
He does, honestly, Flo. He looks amazing. And you look at him at Chelsea and you feel there's a jitteriness about him, and there's this, you know, like you could play the ball to him and it's like, okay, get to Kurt. Now you look at him and you think he's accomplished, because he knows he's a mainstay. He's got brilliant coaches there to help him, and he's going to play. And he's playing in a team with unbelievable energy. Like Jared Bowen, did you see that? I don't know if you saw it, Flo, that... Chris Wilder done a piece on him on Match of the Day 2 about the work that he puts in down that right-hand side.
He's so good.
Jesus Christ. He got 8 goals last season. If he can continue to get goals and play like that, we're talking about a sensational player in Jared Bowen.
You know, as well, you know, I don't know if you guys know that he's even more of a West Ham legend now, because he's actually dating Danny Dyer's daughter.
You're joking.
No.
Oh, no.
It's like the Venn diagram of East Londonish.
That is amazing. Is Danny Dyer's daughter called Danny?
Yeah, she's called Danny Dyer.
Okay.
Wow.
So he's dating Danny Dyer.
He's dating Danny Dyer.
In this Villa game, though, they absolutely torched them.
What's next for Villa, though, right? Because
honestly, I'm worried about Villa.
My friends who are Villa fans are seriously worried. But this was meant to be like a build season, right? This was meant to be, right, obviously losing Grealish, but there's potentially still enough there to build on, have a good cup run, like continue to quietly push up and progress. But it's just really gone backwards.
It's not quite happening yet, Flo, with the Buendia, Bailey and Ings. Ings obviously is injured for this. We know that he can score, but I don't think between Buendia and Bailey, as we've seen in flashes, that they look like they've got something. Buendia got taken off, went straight down the tunnel. So talking about somebody who's not even been there long enough, he's already thrown that strop.
Yeah, it's not good.
We have to look at Villa and say, what's that? 4 on the spin. Even when they stayed up in 2019 or so. They never lost 4 on a spin in that year when they were 17th. They never lost 4 on a spin. They're conceding goals. What was it? West Ham. No, who was it they conceded? They conceded 4 to West Ham, Arsenal and Wolves. We're not talking City, Liverpool and like Chelsea. They're conceding goals hand over fist.
Yeah, 10 in their last 3, 12 in the last 4. But then they beat Man United before that. So it's just like... I have a quick question here though for you two. So when Konsa got sent off, Hall should have gone as well, right?
What
for the elbow.
I thought that was pretty... He didn't even get any booking. No, it's like they totally ignored it.
I think both should have gone.
Yeah,
I can't believe Hawes didn't even get a booking for that, because that was really nasty and it looked horrible.
What about the Aubameyang Evans and then what was the other one? There was the other one was,
oh, Laporte got sent off on Zaha.
And Laporte and Zaha. So yeah, you just think to yourself, come on.
Dude, I tweeted about it and we actually signed off on Stadio on it yesterday.
Did
it
was you? Like, what did you say? Well, I haven't listened yet.
We hope your week is as lucky as Johnny Evans was on it. Because how he didn't go, I've
did
no idea.
Did you see the Snodgrass one against Fulham? He didn't get sent off for that either. That was
I didn't see that one.
On
was it
Saturday
elbow?
Against West Brom, yeah. So, Snodgrass from West Brom. I can't remember who he elbowed, but he properly elbowed.
Was it a proper one as well?
Fulham player.
Did you look
in the
at
face?
Him coming and everything flowed?
Yeah, he didn't get anything. There were two sendings off in that game anyway, I think, in the end. But yeah, he managed to escape. I don't know how.
I cannot understand how VAR can't get that. Why do they not get that, Ryan?
It's really funny watching the Premier League's on Sky here, right? And without fail, at one point during a Premier League game, when something happens and it gets a VAR check, the commentators are just like, oh. They're like watching the replays themselves and they're like, you know, they'll say the German equivalent will be like, that is a clear penalty, absolute, like, no doubt. And then it'll be like, free kick to the opposition. They'll be like, oh.
What's going on?
The Germans are just really, it's like they're as confused by, I don't know what confuses them more, the fact that like VAR or like Brexit, it's like the two are very,
just so confused.
VAR
is that
Brexit.
How they go, right? When it carries on, they go,
Oh, wow.
What is with, like, I know it's easy to think that like our leagues, our football has the worst, but Ryan, as someone who watches a lot more European football than I do, like, would you say it is quite bad?
No, I think that, right, so it's tightened up a little bit, but La Liga VAR went through a period of being like an experimental installation.
But La Liga's just chaotic anyway, because literally people are always up begging for red cards every 5 seconds. Mm.
In Serie A, for example, as well, there's some really weird VAR stuff. And there was a really good thing the other day. I think James Horncastle wrote a thing for The Athletic about why there are so many more penalties in Serie A compared to other leagues. But I think refs do such an intense job, and I actually think that they're, you know, I have a lot of sympathy for refs.
Oh, totally.
I'd feel sorry for them if they didn't have VAR and were able to use that.
Yeah, when they don't look at stuff in real time as well.
Yes, the freeze frame thing. It doesn't give enough context. That is so right. Like,
if you have the chance to go over to a monitor and look at it again, look at it in real time, look at it in slow-mo, look at it from a couple of angles. But look, the real time is really key, because pretty much everything looks a foul in slow-mo.
In slow-mo,
it's true.
If you flicked someone's cheek, right, and slowed it right down, and it would ripple and the face would kind of go like that, you'd be like, whoa, what the fuck? And then you actually did it real time, you'd be like,
bam,
be like that thing in Ant-Man, like in Ant-Man, where they're on the train tracks, and then the train just go like,
yeah. I love that. That is so cool. I got my earpieces come out. Hang on.
So really, what VAR needs is the Ant-Man technology, is what you're saying, Ryan.
Yeah, exactly. What we need is referees need to go subatomic.
Referees need the Ant-Man technology, and then VAR would be sorted. Then we'd be fine.
I've got to watch that bit in Ant-Man. I really love that. I really loved it. When it happened, I thought, that is so clever. I really love that.
But the fact that it's Thomas the Tank Engine, no spoilers for anyone who hasn't. Well, fuck it. It's four years old.
It's old.
Like, when Thomas the Tank Engine comes flying out of the house, full size.
Oh, man.
Who else should we big up in the Premier League?
Can we just, Norwich, are they gone? They've gone, aren't they?
They've got to be.
I can't see them coming back.
But what do they do? Do they stick or twist?
Well, I don't know, because like
it's
you just feel
now,
like every time
it?
He's been here, every time he's been here, he's just not got it right. You know what I mean? He's still talking about Buendia. We're in November now. You can't still be talking about that. I know they spent money. They spent money on Sargent. You know what I mean? They've got Brandon Williams on loan. He's not playing. Billy Gilmore's on loan there. He's not playing. You know?
Yeah, that's weird to me. They're like trapped in this football in purgatory. It's quite weird to see teams come up a couple of times from the Championship and
it never works.
Be that poor.
I tell you what I'm worried about now, Rai. Leeds.
I'm not so worried about Leeds, actually, because I think they've been missing Alien and Bamford for what, like 4 or 5 games now?
Yeah, but then you look at them, it seems like everything's Rafinha. Norwich had 14 shots against them. They scored what other teams with 14 shots, probably do more.
I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me to see Leeds beat Leicester next weekend.
You think?
I mean? It just wouldn't, actually. I know. I mean, this is the thing. I think at the moment, the league is... you're hitting that point of the season where... I always find this part of the season around November to Christmas and New Year really strange because it can kind of...
Everything can change.
Yeah, like Spurs broke out and were top of the table last season, what, after 10 games? And then how different it was. Everything starts to shift a little bit. And you see a lot of movement in the table. Bear in mind what we were talking about Arsenal a few weeks ago. Even after the Palace game, to be honest, they're now, what, level on points with Man United and 3 points behind Man City? Arsenal are sixth. What the fuck?
No, that's where we should be. That's what, you know, we're in and around there. And we should be challenged. That's where Arsenal should be in the real world.
This is wild to me. Can we big up your old club?
We have to big up Palace and Patrick. Because remember, when Patrick was, his name was in and around it, you know, people are talking about, oh, remember De Boer came in and he wanted to change stuff and, you know, what's going to happen? He's got so many first teamers are going, 14 people coming out of contract and leaving and stuff like that. Steve Parrish, Dougie Friedman and Patrick, all the people in and around have to take a lot of credit for the work that they've done, the business that they've done. You know, the two centre-halves in Gehi and Anderson, footballing centre-halves, to go alongside Joel Ward and Tariq Mitchell is as solid as you'll see in the Premier League and footballing, and them two at the centre can play. James McArthur seems to have got a new lease of life. You know, you're looking at some like Elise from Mike Elise from Reading, 7 goals, 12 assists last season. He's still to come in. Ezzy's just come back from playing in the under-23s last year. Conor Gallagher is somebody that's... The way he's playing...
Oh, they need to push hard to try and keep him.
I know, he's so good.
Or at least another loan. At least another loan.
Wilfred Zaha is playing... I saw him play at West Ham. I watched him play against West Ham when they were 2-0 down. I've not seen him put in a shift of work like that. And he did, and Conor Gallagher scored the 2 goals. And I've seen him do that a couple of times. I saw him do it with Leicester as well. You know, he's putting in a shift. I don't know what Patrick's done, but he's really got him going. That seems to be a belief and a confidence in that team that you would fancy them against literally any team in the league. Because Patrick was saying before, we're playing okay, but like we're just kind of getting punished. Remember, they've been 95th minute equaliser. They've had stuff like that. Arsenal's equaliser as well. They've had that a couple of times. They've come back, so they've shown Ryan Flow that they've got the tenacity to know we can get back in this game. Even Benteke looks like he's energized.
He's amazing, man. He's like,
so Patrick's got to get a lot of credit for what he's done because he's not changed it drastically, right? Because they're still very stoic, they're still very solid. But when they break now, when they break, they're breaking with purpose. When it was under Roy, it was literally the bank's back, and then when they got the ball, it was like, give it to Wilfred. He's got to try and take on 6 people. Not anymore. They've got Conor Gallagher doing the press. They've got like Wilfred Zaha waiting to, and then they're ready to go. It's fucking exciting, mate. They're very excited.
Do you think like, because this seems to be the first season in a while that there hasn't been any noise about Wilf going somewhere?
I don't know what, that's what I'm
saying.
There
wasn't much in the preseason, was there?
No, they weren't. I think Patrick's had a word.
Like, whereas last year and the year before, there was all the thing about Arsenal. Didn't he want to go at one point? And then he ended up staying and then...
Maybe Patrick's had the talk.
Well, I can't remember. I think it was the guy who does HLT CO. He was saying that a lot of that squad is, and they were Arsenal fans growing up.
Yeah.
So to see someone like Patrick come in, they're all of a sudden like, whoa. Wow. Like, so we're actually working with Patrick Vieira.
I'm delighted for Steve Parrish. I speak to Steve quite frequently. You know what I mean? I'm happy. I'm delighted that it's gone like that because no Palace person could say that they were not worried when people continually were speaking about the fact that this many people are leaving. What's going to happen? All of a sudden, you know, like what, 6-7 months later, whatever starts, the Palace look like a team that could be challenging for Europe. Who am I giving flowers? I haven't given flowers to anyone. I'm not giving...
I know who we're giving. We need to give flowers to. Because we didn't do the Premier League on Stadio, so I just want to give a couple of other shout-outs. Obviously, to Brighton for a good point. But obviously, Man United, the old boys up front, and do the business.
But we have to talk about that goal, because that's what it's about. You know, Ronaldo, what he can do. His goal against Spurs is beautifully controlled. It was a beautiful finish. You know, and same with Cavani's goal. Experience and class, just bam, bam, 2-0. You know, sorry to see Nuno go, but it just didn't fit. It didn't fit.
Shouts for Reece James and Chelsea. A couple of absolute wonder goals.
Those goals. Jesus Christ. Both feet.
Unbelievable, eh?
Oh, I'm sorry. Like, if you think about this podcast, right?
Right.
What all the teams we've just talked about, English men's and women's football is thriving right now.
Mm-hmm.
Thriving. Mm-hmm. It's so exciting. It's so exciting with major tournaments on the horizon. Like, English football is so good right now. The talent is so good.
The talent pool is
unreal.
So deep.
If anything, there's almost too many good players.
Jesus
Christ. There's almost too many good players. What are we going to do? The expectations. I want to shout out Southampton because I have a soft spot for Southampton.
Yes.
I like to see them win. I want to see them stay in the league.
That's a beautiful goal he scored. Yeah.
But yeah, quickly on Palace, I think like Palace in the league is a better Premier League. In my opinion.
You like, yeah.
Amen.
But
playing like that, because no one likes going to South London, bro. No one likes going down to South London.
Can I nominate someone for flowers?
Go on, who?
Aaron Ramsdale.
Oh,
yeah, I second that bouquet. See,
can I be totally honest? He made the save that he made from the, honestly, you should have seen the Match of the Day office. Everybody was clapping. They were clapping. They were clapping.
How the freeze frame image of that? I was looking at that like, how does anyone get their body in that shape? Like, how do you? I was trying to like recreate it. I was like, how do you get your body like that? Like,
you know what's really cool about it as well, Flo, is that he said with England, he's been with England with James Maddison, and he thought that James Maddison was going to come his side.
Yeah.
Mm. And he said that's what he's really worried about. But he said, you know something, because he knows how good James Maddison has taken us. Because let's face it, that's a goal, bro. That is a goal. And he said, I thought he's going to come my side, but when it went over the wall and
the movement, the way he runs back across the line, he's almost taking a step, like you said, he's taking a step, ready for it to go that way. And then he's like, oh shit. And just the movement to get over the other side and then move.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And then the luck with it coming off the bar, him landing and literally not having a clue where Johnny Evans has just kicked that ball. Johnny Evans has kicked it. I think it's come off the post. Nearly off of his knee on the way when he was getting up, and then it rolled on the line, and that's when you know your time's.
Yeah,
it's your time right now.
Yeah,
and I just hope that continues, because I said on Match of the Day, did you see his distribution, guys?
So good, man.
Oh my God, his distribution, making saves like that at 24, right? And people going on about, look at Arsenal with a laughing stock, pay £30 million for a goalkeeper who's been down twice. That doesn't happen to people. He's 24 and he's already had two seasons of experience of making unbelievable saves in those two teams, and they've gone down. And now Arsenal are reaping the benefits of the experience he's got from those two seasons.
It's the mentality, though, too. It's the mentality that I like. Like, obviously, the talent is unreal, but it's the mentality because he is kind of wild, just like the way he shouts and screams, and he's a leader.
Yeah.
That's the mentality Arsenal have been crying out for. Mm. Like, he will not let anyone's work rate slip because he is on another level, because he works hard, because he's so physical. Like, the other players will feed off that because he's not going to accept them to give, you know, whatever.
He's great in the dressing room, Flow. He's unbelievable in the dressing room. And you see the bit when the Leicester fan was going, shit. It was just like,
you need
brilliant.
That. He needs that.
It was unbelievable. And then can I just say, one of the greatest songs that's ever been sung in the stands. Saka and Emil Smith Rowe said, I like it, I like it, I like it. La 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 la, like it. La 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 la, here we go. Saka and Emil Smith Rowe.
Does Aaron Ramsdale have a chant yet? He needs
Not
one.
Yet.
He needs one.
I think they've got, they just sing his name. I think they just sing Aaron Ramsdale's name.
Okay.
Distribution, man, from Ramsdale Iniesta. He's the fucking unbelievable.
He done one on the edge of the box where he half volleyed it to Laka. And it just was like, it was like 2 feet off the ground all the way. It was like an Exocet missile. It was just like, he is, for me, like I was going to say, with that distribution and making those saves, there's no way Jordan Pickford keeps him out for too much longer. No
he's
way.
He's the best English goalkeeper at the moment.
England's number one.
Yeah.
England's number one. England's number one.
On that note.
End the pod now.
Nice one. Thanks, Flozy.
Well, thanks for having me, and I hope you have a wicked birthday. You deserve it. You deserve all the love. You're an incredibly joyful, amazing person to be in the presence of, even virtually. So just enjoy it. Enjoy it.
Well, we're going to do it real. We're doing it real next week, so I can't wait to see you.
You can, look, you know, forward, I mean, to
it's
it.
Going to be beautiful. Thank you so much for coming on. You're an amazing addition to the house.
I love
Ryan,
it.
I love you because you're amazing.
Love you too, man.
Don't think
thanks
you're not
for,
amazing.
Thanks for having me.
You're
happy
great.
Birthday.
You're great. Thanks a lot, man. Cheers, mate.
It's all right, mate. It's all right. Sorry. It's all right. We'll see you next week. Are you going to go watch that Ant-Man clip now?
You know what? I'm going to just watch the bit where the train just comes up.
And on loop for 4 hours on your
it's
birthday.
It's the way the train comes up and it just goes. Take it easy, guys.
See you later, man.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Flo. Thank you very much, Ryan. Thank you, my friend. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you again next week. Stay safe. That's the main thing. Stay safe, stay healthy, and love yourself. Make sure, if you go past this mirror, see yourself, wink. Give yourself some love. Take it easy, man.